Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Want to turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. We like to hear those Bible pages, and they have a unique sound too. You know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening tonight for this opportunity to share in your word together. Would you impart your spirit of wisdom to us tonight in the revelation of the knowledge of you? Just enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Lord, tonight, and would you just empower me by your Holy Spirit to bring forth what you want shared tonight, and may we be encouraged, built up, strengthened, edified. May exhortation, whatever you want to do, but as your word comes forth. And those words that I say, they're just so unnecessary. May they just be forgotten, Lord, and zoop, you know. And just bless our time in Jesus' name. We're going to focus in on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And actually, as we were doing the worship list, that last song we did, I thought, you know what? That says a lot for us that I won't cover in Romans tonight because we're in 12, you know. Because we're in the practical side. But, you know, living and dying he did, justified, he rose. You know what I mean? All those things that our word talks about, that we're going to focus in on Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll read the two verses. I'm going to read them in about three translations. This is King Jimmy here, as Josh McDowell used to say. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So those two verses there, and I'll share it in NIV and in the New American Standard Version. Therefore, I urge you, this is NIV, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Notice the two differences there. Service, worship, we'll talk about that a little more later. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That was NIV, and here's the New American Standard, NASB. It also starts with, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Now notice this, the way this is put. Spiritual service of worship. I kind of like that too. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're focusing in on Romans 12, 1 and 2. I've entitled this, In View of God's Mercy. Romans chapter 12, and of course, it begins the practical side of Romans. It's the practical part of the book, and of course, before we, and the first 11 chapters deal with really doctrine or beliefs, dispensation. We've got the, you know, chapters 1 through 8, all that doctrine there, and then 9 through 11, that little parenthetical portion where he is discussing Israel and how, you know, right now they're blind for a time, but he's not through them, he loves them. After all, he's their chosen nation. They were the channel through which the Messiah came, right? But before we get started in this section, let's look at verse 33 of chapter 11, okay? I heard Ray Sedman say this here when I was listening to him. He said, oh, you know, it's just so neat. Why wouldn't you want to go ahead and read this before you get into 12? And look at this, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches. Two big words right there, right? Depth, deep, of the riches, the wealth of the Lord. both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him. Notice that. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So now let's jump into the practical. We can jump into this little practical section. And notice I'm only going to take the first two verses. But it's interesting to me when you consider those first two verses and really how important they are. Before he jumps into saying, you know, as you're gifted by the measure of faith you've been given and grace, and if you prophesy, do it according to what God has given you and all those things. But before he starts that practical part, he reminds us, because remember, he's talking to believers here, right? And he reminds us to, first of all, let's give our, be sure we're presenting ourselves to Him and how we're to do it, okay? And so as we said, those first 11 chapters deal with doctrine or belief, that dispensation period of time. We're in the church age, and that day on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, and in that church age, and we're waiting for that glorious day when we're caught up, huh? Yeah. What we know and believe determine how we live, doesn't it? That's a fact. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now notice the first word in verse 1 is therefore. Important word there. It's a conclusive word and is referring to what was stated doctrinally before. And by those first 11 chapters, and boy, did he say a lot. Justification, sanctification, redemption. We see grace, we see mercy, all those things. We see in Romans 8:20, all things work together for the good for those who love God or the call according to His purpose. And it's also pointed out that He is the work He is doing and those things He allows is drawing us closer into His image. Those things He allows to take place in our life and the attacks that Satan even put on us, that in spite of all that, God uses that and then builds character to draw us closer. You see, all that stuff in these first 11 chapters. But right now, he said, therefore. So in view of all that, in light of this, or therefore, I urge you, then he says, brothers, he's urging the brothers. So in verse 1, this word urge or beseech, depending on your translation, can be rendered as coming alongside or begging, you see. Notice he's not commanding, is he? He's saying, guys, in light of what Christ has done for you, in light of the work of the cross, in light of resurrection, justification, redemption, sanctification, glorification, our position in Christ, seated in the heavenlies, you see. He's begging, he says, and so Paul is begging. The word brother here is referring to a regenerated soul. And so he's referring to believers here as he's writing this. You see, as you know and have been told, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And so as you think of that, these bodies then are what are used to express the real us. The real us is who God seeks to redeem, right? Because these bodies aren't made to live forever, are they? No. It's the invisible part, the essence of our being, that must be surrendered, you see, to God. So Paul here is referring to a regenerated person, a believer. And so in that interest, you think of, and I'll probably say something about this more, but it's coming to my mind right now. Isn't it interesting when our bodies, see, I'm raising my hand here. As I'm talking, I raise my hand. It's expressing, see, my hand, my arm is a part of me and is supporting, actually emphasizing my voice? Is this coming out because I'm reaching with my hand? You see what I mean? See how it animates the real us. And what's so beautiful, we'll reiterate again, but what's so beautiful is to see what God does when He takes a body and it's regenerated and it's born again. And then this body, you see the change in the person. Their eyes look clear. They're everything, you know, they've got a glow or a smile that they didn't have before, right? That's what God gives. Here on this earth.
Sorry about that.
Here on this earth, you see, this is what expresses us, this body. But it is only a shell. It's temporary. But our body and soul and spirit, you see, and our soul is mind, emotion, and will, really. Our mind, emotion, and will. And boy, before we came to the Christ, that was a real crisis going on there. We had that mind, that us, and that emotion, those feelings, and that will. And we were groping aimlessly for something to confide in. Before we yielded to the guiding and the leading and the pulling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Paul is telling us, in a sense, based on what you know and believe, I urge you, brothers, he says. He urges or begs us, in view of God's mercy or by the mercies of God. Now, before he even points out what he is urging us to do, he wants us to consider God's mercy. Amen? Because in view of God's mercy, if it weren't for God's mercy, whoa, you see, this word mercy here, or mercy, means God's compassion, or His pity, or even His tenderness. Amen? Now we know, you know, the overall mercy and what it is defined as is not getting what we deserve, right? But I'd say that's showing pity, that's tenderness, that's compassion. And isn't it awesome to think about God being a just God who would love us so much, and we're going to look at that in a second, that He had to deal with sin. But because He loved us, and as Revelation 4:11, for His pleasure are we created, He provided Jesus Christ, His Son, to die on the cross for us so He could show us that mercy and grace, He says. And you remember the song we used to sing, the words of the song, and I think it's actually right there in Lamentation 3, the words that says of the song that says, and in the word, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Amen? I love that. Those are neat words, right from Lamentation. Think of how He shows mercy to us. We can all think, and I remember when, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, David, when he ended up, he wasn't supposed to number the people 20 years old and above. And he had Joab do that. There began to be problems. And he when he learned what he shouldn't have done, he had these choices he could make. And you know what, you know, this can happen or this can happen. What did David do? He said, I will appeal to the mercy of God. Amen? Yes. So in view of God's mercy could refer to everything God has done for the believer. Amen? Mentioned back in these first 11 chapters. So let's look. We're going to look at, let's turn to Romans 5, verse 1. We'll be in Romans 6:23 also. Okay, so let's see how long it takes me to get back here, flipping these pages. That's 11, here's 1. Okay, now we're just going to read this. I'm not going to comment a whole lot, but it's just neat. Here's another therefore, mercy. When you look up there in 3 and 4, you know, and how that it was imputed unto Abraham for righteousness' sake, it was God's grace. He said, through thy seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. He was thinking about sending his son, right? Because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down, the tribe of Judah, Mary, you see, the Messiah would come. So remember, Israel was the channel, you see. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Isn't that the truth? That justification, we think, wow, I can have through our, and how is it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access, that's spoken about over there, Ephesians 2, as you're getting down and through there, it talks about us having access to the Father because of Jesus Christ, you see. We don't have to go to a priest. We have a great high priest. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. Now, we rejoice in hope, the glory of God. And then, verse 3, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also. Oh, really? God uses those, doesn't He? Knowing that tribulation, what does it do? And see, He's showing, His kindness and His mercy toward us are those things. He doesn't give us what we deserve, but He gives us those things we need, doesn't He? You see? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We don't necessarily always have those kind of things. And patience, experience. Oh, that experiential knowledge of God is heavy duty. You know, we can know, but then when He takes us through things, His mercies, you know, we then know them by living it out. And experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God, how is it? It's shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, oh, I think He showed mercy to us, didn't He? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood. You see, it was a sacrifice, wasn't it? So the sacrifice He made, surely we, you know, can make a living sacrifice then. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see, raised from the, he's living and He's living in us. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, that atonement. You remember in the Old Testament, those animals would be sacrificed, and that was a covering. They kept having to be sacrificed. But when Jesus died on that cross, that was the final atonement. Atonement, you see? Heavy duty. 6:23. I wrote that down, so let's see what we have here. For the wages of sin is death, but what? But the gift of God is eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a way He showed mercy to us, sending His own Son for us, you see? So in view of God's mercy, what is He urging us to do? He is urging us to offer our body or present our bodies a living sacrifice. Notice, a living sacrifice. The first step in living out the practical is sacrifice. Not what we can receive, but what can we give? Amen? And as we give, as we serve, as we love, we are blessed. Really. And so He's urging us to be a living sacrifice. He has given us all we need. In fact, we just saw the verse there when Patrick started into 2 Peter. I think it's 1:3. His divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, I believe. Yes, He's given us everything we need. And you see, it's only a regenerated person who can offer his body and soul to the Lord, you see. God wants us to yield our body to Him and His will. Our bodies our flesh and dying. As the years go by, you're going to notice this body doesn't do quite what it used to. You know what I'm saying? I certainly wouldn't want to get out on a wrestling mat anymore and go very long. But that, you know, it's one thing in high school. But as the years go by, see, these bodies are they're dying. They're, you know, their flesh, they're dying. And it's a result of the fall of man, isn't it? And so really, see, our flesh is the seed of sin. Your spirit and soul inside of you is who you really are and is eternal and will live forever. You're going to go somewhere, right? When we depart from this body, is it heaven or hell, right? Yeah. You know Jesus, man. But oh, and if there's any among us tonight, God loves you. Hell wasn't designed for us. It was designed really for the devil and his fallen angels. But if we choose not to receive the Lord into our hearts, I mean, that's what happens. But He loves us, guys. He loves us. But your flesh is dying. Until the Lord calls you home to be with Him, that is the case. One day, this flesh that is now mortal will put on immortality. But as long as He has us here, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. So God has chosen to use our bodies as instruments or vehicles to do His will. Isn't that interesting? To do His will for His glory. He could use anything He wants, right? In fact, He had mentioned that the stones could praise Him. You know what I mean? When He was talking to the Pharisees and all. But it's His desire. He has chosen. He loves us for His pleasure are we created. You see? But He could use anything He wants. But He has chosen to use man. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. They're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price, you see. In Romans 7:25, we see that the flesh is still the seed of sin, isn't it? We still deal with that. As Romans 6 points out, that we are not to offer our bodies as instruments of wickedness, but rather instruments of righteousness, you see. God desires to use us, each one of us. And what's so neat is we're each individual. Oftentimes when my wife and her sister and her sister, husband, and I, we go to the mall, we'll sit. Sometimes while they shop, you know. There'll be these chairs. And it's, you know, you got people going here and yon. And you know, every single person is an individual. Has their own personality, their own ways of doing things, you know. Now, sure, brothers and sisters, you'll see similarities. But we're each individual. And God didn't make misfits. So He wants to use us. And I think back in, you think in that verse in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, His poema, His work of art, His poem, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He has chosen to use man. And so before Paul even goes into the practical things and the gifts and all those things and how, you know, we respond one to another, he's saying, I urge you to present your bodies living sacrifices. And that is difficult because our bodies are the center of desires and fleshly appetites, disease, depression. I mean, that's a fact. We have doubts, you know. But we must yield our bodies a living sacrifice for God. And that tense of the word offer or present is referring to a once and for all tense. It's not the present continuous, you know. That's a, you know, we come to the Lord, we offer ourselves to Him. But let's just keep following this along. Yeah, but you're saying, but I know, but I do, I did this. I'm not doing this. Let's just keep on going. Remember, we're a work in progress, you see, with the Lord. But that once and for all offering, he's saying, and Jesus, because Jesus, you know, offered himself once and for all. We offer ourselves once and for all, but we still deal with the yielding of our bodies, don't we? We live in this body. Your toe hurts, whatever. In the Old Testament, when a lamb was offered, it was only one offering. You remember when Abraham, and this is kind of interesting to think about. I suppose Dr. McGee may have said this when I was studying him, wanted to listen to him one time. When Abraham offered Isaac, and Abraham was asked, you know, to offer him as his, you know, his only son, Isaac was the sacrifice that lived. But I like what, I think it was McGee that said, but Abraham was really the living sacrifice. He was the living, he was willing, but see. But God had that ram over there caught in the thicket, didn't he? And Abraham, it's like he experienced the fellowship of suffering, in a sense. The word holy here means set apart unto God. You please God by offering your body to Him. So worship, those three translations we shared had worship and service in them, right? Because they really, they work together. They're that word, whether you use it, the word service or worship, you see, if you're serving, you're worshiping. Or you're not going to want to serve unless you're just really serving out of some bondage singers. You know what I'm saying? So worship is acknowledging and lifting up God. Acknowledging, lifting up God. It is a lifestyle, right? And it's a daily living unto the Lord. What you serve, you worship, really. And so we worship Him as you know, as we're living through the, as we're going through the day, you know how we talk about at church, we'll worship Him in the Word, we'll worship Him in communion and with our tithes, you know, offerings. It's an adoration, a admiration, a giving of yourself, of, you know, lifting Him up, you see. And you're going to serve something or somebody. Whenever I look at that phrase like that, it reminds me of Bob Dylan. He wrote a song back, you know, way back when. Some of you guys know that? You're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord. You know, with that voice like he does. But you're going to serve somebody. You know, but it's true, you see? You're going to serve somebody. Our spiritual act of worship is being a living sacrifice to God. True worship is allowing God to use your body and work through it in every situation. Because we love Him. Because we love Him, you see. When we come to church service and have our time of worship, we're corporately adoring God and pouring our hearts out to God. But you see, as we live from day to day, as we're saying, Lord, give me grace, give me wisdom. I love you, Lord. You see, because of He loved us, we want to honor Him, you see. Our spiritual act of worship or service, which is your reasonable service, depending on what translation you're using, see. But you see, Satan attacks our body, doesn't he? We deal with the world, Satan, and the flesh. You know what I'm saying? He uses the world system to attack us. And so as we keep going on here in verse 2, now let's jump in here now in verse 2. So we've began by, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that brother, that word brother, it adds all you sisters too. You know, he didn't say brethren and sister or anything like that. But it's all y'all. We're all His. We're sold. Okay, so we're told in verse 2 then, not to conform to the patterns of this world. Notice, not to conform to the patterns. Don't be, you know, and that's a, we're not to be actively, continuously, you know, not to conform to the patterns of this world. Don't fashion yourself in that way. The tense of this word is present continuous, be continually, not being conformed. See what I mean? And so we once and for all offer our bodies to the Lord a living sacrifice, but we're not to be conformed, to be being conformed to the world. And if He's told us not to be, I always think of it this way. Chances are, He knew He needed to say, don't do it, because that can be a problem, right? We are faced with so much, guys, in the world in which we live. When you think about how, you know, through the ear gate, the eye gate, everything, the technology that's out there, those things that we're blasted with. And then we see, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed is in the same tense. So, you know, that present continuous tense, but be transformed. Two different things. Notice he doesn't say be reformed, but be transformed. 1 John 5:19 points out that the world is under the control of the evil one. The pattern of this world is an unbiblical philosophy of life. We know that. That's why we need to consume ourselves with the things of God, so that we are in tune with what He's, with what's right and wrong. And we know the world and what's right and wrong. The world and a person in the world makes decisions. What are they? To please itself. It's a self-centered situation. In fact, I think Patrick was pointing that out in when we were looking at 2 Peter the other day also. That issue of we're to have a different attitude. Philippians 2:5 speaks of the mind of Christ. He who thought it not robbery to become equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, humbling himself even unto death on a cross, you see, that's pretty heavy. That he, and just think about that, guys. I when you think about the fact that he chose to become incarnate, he was born a baby. He had to be held. He had to have his diaper changed. All that stuff. The God of the universe, heavy, said, okay, Father, I'm going down. Kind of be like us. Becoming ants and coming down to try to talk to the ant world there. Hey, guys. There's a better way for you, ants. And I'll be an ant and die for it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's pretty heavy when you think of what he did. Becoming incarnate for us, you see. So he was others-minded, you see. The world is self-minded. So we're not to love the world, nor the things in it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But be ye being transformed. And so it's by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed there is a form of the word metamorphosis. And that's being changed, you know, a transfigure like a caterpillar to a butterfly. You see, and that's going on. And one day we're going to boom, you know. I think of when you think of salvation, you know, we've been saved and we're living this out. You see, we've been set apart, we're being sanctified, set apart. But it's going to come to fruition in glory later. You know, while we're living on this earth, we've been saved and we're living this out. And it's going to be complete one day when He takes us with Him, right? You see? It's heavy duty. And so I think Paul, you know, I can understand when you think of the whole picture, why you say, look what God's done. In view of what God's done for us, present your body a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That metamorphosis is taking place. You know, we become over there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things, we become a new creation in God. All things become new. Behold, all things pass away. Being changed, transfigured like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And then, how does this take place? By the renewing of our mind. And let's think about this renewing. That word could mean renovation. Seeing life as Jesus sees it and becoming light and salt. Now, let's think of that renewing and that renovation. We're living in this body, aren't we? Think of how, can you remember and see how God has, you know, renovated you? Now, this is what's being renovated, and one day we're going to have a new one. But as we walk about in this body that expresses us to the world around us and to our family and friends and everybody, they see us and what we express, our body is used to do that. Otherwise, you know what I thought about when I was thinking about this? You remember that movie with James Stewart and Harvey? Didn't he have an invisible rabbit or something? And he kept talking to him. Can you imagine all of us walking around like, you know, hey, Jimmy. Yeah. You wouldn't have to see either, would you? I mean, we could be blind. It wouldn't matter. We wouldn't see each other anyway. Be invisible, you see. But isn't that heavy? God's given us, the real us is in this body that we walk around with, that He's given us certain gifts and abilities and things that can be used for His glory. And so then when we come to Jesus Christ, He begins to renovating us. And you see people light up in a way they never did because He picks up the pieces and He puts us together. So we're not to be conformed, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that renovating of our mind. How's that going to take place? As we see light and salt, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship. You see, when that renovation is taking place, He's working in us both to will and do of His good pleasure over there in Philippians. But you know that, did you ever, you know, that section in Philippians, that same section there where he's saying he's working you both to will and do of his good pleasure. He also, there's a section that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he's not telling you that you've got to work to be saved. I think that's referring to, that's what is working out in your life as you live and you're committed to him, right? Remember the three tenses of salvation? We've been saved. We're being saved. We've been saved. We are saved, guys. Our citizenship is in heaven. But are we living it out? And we see how He works that out in our life. He's renovating. He's just changing us. And boy, one day we're going to be in glory, you see. And so we say, now how's that going to happen? When we talk about the Word, we talk about prayer, how important the Word is. At the ministry retreat, David referred to this section, you know, over there in 2 Timothy 2:15 over there, and you know, study to show thyself approved. A workman needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing that word, laying right out there. As you look at those verses, what words mean, how, you know, you look up this word mercy. Oh, it's over here. You know, rightly dividing, you see. In other words, just setting our sides right alongside the Word of God. And loving Him. You see. See, the heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it but God? That's why, and His Word doesn't return void. When you're in His Word, it does not return void. And if we are in any way sensitive and looking to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit through His Word, He will reveal us to us. And He'll show us things that we need to know. And sometimes there are things we don't want to know. But if we'll hang in there and let Him work in us to both and will do of His good pleasure, we're going to continue to be blessed. And boy, the renovation just keeps on happening, doesn't it? And that's how we're less apt to be conformed to the world. Because, see, we're hit with the things of the world all the time. I mean, the TV has little commercials, things, you know. I'm not saying don't watch TV. Don't take that wrong. You do what you want with that TV. But I'm just saying there's things all around us that we deal with, right? But the Word and prayer, you know. And I like to pray Scripture, you know. When I think of not being conformed to the world, think of over there at, I always think of Psalm 1. We see that picture of the righteous man and the unrighteous man, right? You see that first verse, blessed, oh how happy is the man who walks not, he didn't say who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So that's walking along. Nor stand, he doesn't get comfortable in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, his word. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not sower, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I didn't do that whole thing, but you know where I'm going with that. First word is blessed. Second, for the righteous man, what's the word on the end of Psalm 1? Perish, you see. Oh, but that we would look to God. The just shall live by faith. So as a result, then, you will be able to know the will of God, the Word of God, prayer and fellowship is what aid us, you see, as I said, in renewing our minds. God's will in our lives is happening oftentimes even we don't really even know it. And I'll close with an example. Stop and think about, you know, and there's times God is working in us, and sometimes we'll, you know, look back and say, oh, God, yes, God was in that. You know? But I can think of, over in Acts chapter 3, okay? And then we'll close. You remember over in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to prayer at the temple, you know, the time of prayer, that hour. And the lame man was there, and it points out that he had always, you know, it wasn't the first time he was there asking alms and, you know, wanting help and all. And I don't think that was the first time Peter and John saw him either. But I think as they're walking along, as they're serving God, as they're being in tune to God, this particular time was the time that they were to respond to this fellow. Can you imagine? Now, and we've done this too. If we think back, I can think of times when, man, I go by, oh, I should pray for that person. You know what I mean? And you don't do it. You know, you're just going about your daily business, your mind's on something else. Peter and John may think, man, we got to get over there to the temple. Prayer's about to start. But this particular day, God's will began to take place in their life concerning this man. It was God's will that they stop right now. What did Peter say? God gave him God imparted on his heart to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You see. And because of the timing of that and God's will and God's work, wow, didn't a lot of things unfold? He preached the gospel to what? Was it 3,000 or two? One was three and one was two, you know, in chapter 4. But see what was done is they were just going about their daily business and doing God's will. And they probably weren't really thinking about so much about the whole thing as the fact that they were doing it. You see? And so as we're in tune, as we're seeking the Lord, prayer and all, God's working in us. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or spiritual act of worship, or reasonable worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what is that good and perfect will, you see. And then he continues on with the whole chapter and has a lot to say about it. But I think it's interesting the kind of commitment he asks for before he even starts into anything else, after they've seen all the doctrine. Isn't that heavy? And God loves us tonight. God loves you tonight. God bless you. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your Word tonight. Would you just speak it to our hearts? Would you impart what you want us to get from what we've shared together tonight? And would you be glorified and strengthen us each in your name? Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The Scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.